The scripture that I'd like to share with you is from the book of 1 Kings. It's the story about a guy named Solomon, and it goes like this. Then David lay down with his ancestors, and he was buried in David's city. He ruled over Israel for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and then 33 years in Jerusalem. Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his royal power was well established. Now Solomon loved to walk in the laws of his father David, with the exception that he also sacrificed and burnt incense at the shrines. The king went to the great shrines at Gibeon in order to sacrifice there. He used to offer 1,000 entirely burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord appeared to Solomon at Gibeon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon responded and said, "You showed so much kindness to your servant, my father David, when he walked before you in the truth, righteousness, and with a heart true to you. You've kept this great loyalty and kindness for him, and now have given him a son to sit on his throne. And now, Lord God, you have made me your servant, king in my father David's place. But I'm young and inexperienced. I know next to nothing. But I'm here, your servant, in the middle of the people you have chosen, a large population that can't be numbered or counted due to its vast size. Please give your servant a discerning mind in order to govern your people and to distinguish good from evil, because no one is able to govern this important people without your help." It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this request, and so God said to him, "Because you have asked this, instead of requesting a long life or wealth or victory over your enemies, asking discernment so as to acquire good judgment, I will do for you what you have asked. Look, thereby, I give you a wise and understanding mind. There will be no one like you before now, nor will there ever be anyone like you afterwards. I now also give you what you've asked for, what you haven't asked for, wealth and fame. There won't be a king like you as long as you live. And if you walk in my ways and obey my laws and commandments, just as your father David did, then I will also give you a very long life." Today's an especial Sunday for another reason that I haven't mentioned yet. Do you know what else today is in the life of the Sunday school? Pardon? It's Sunday school kickoff day. One of the great things that we do here around Faith Community is we have a Sunday school program for people of all ages, from cradle to grave. So no matter what age you are, there is a Sunday school class for you. They usually meet at 9:30 on Sunday morning. So this is usually you would have been in Sunday school by now, and we'd gather then for worship. A number of the Sunday school classes here have been doing things a little bit differently for the summer. For example, a number of the kids' classes have all been combined. And after today, we're going to go back to things as normal. At about 12:30 this afternoon, we're going to have a party to celebrate the kickoff of a new Sunday school year. So I strongly encourage you to be a part of this. We're going to have bouncy houses and some food, and it'll be a chance to get together and to encourage each other in our Sunday school, in our learning about the Christian faith. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, believed that knowing the Holy Spirit required that we be gathering together with other people of faith to try to figure out what the Holy Spirit was doing in our lives, to help understand the Bible better, to encourage one another, to share with each other where we're feeling tempted and struggling, and also to hold each other accountable. Our Sunday school classes here are one way of continuing that class meeting tradition that John Wesley started. And so as we kick off a year of Sunday school, I thought it would be helpful to spend some time talking about wisdom. Wisdom. And there is one person, when I use that word in the Bible, who seems to come to mind more than any other. Do you know who that person is? Solomon, right? What's he known for? The wisdom of Solomon, right? The time is about 1,000 years before the time of Christ. David has been king and has been the greatest king Israel has ever known. He expanded his borders. He brought the country together. But probably more important than anything, he also governed the country around the laws of Moses. David lived to be an old man, and now David is dead. Solomon becomes king, but he's still young and inexperienced. He has big shoes to fill. He knows that he's going to need some help. And so God went to him and said, "The answer to your question is yes. Now ask your question." Did you catch that? That means that God has already told him that he will give him whatever he will ask for. And now the question is, what will he ask for? What would you do if you were in Solomon's shoes? If God already told you that God would give you whatever it is that you asked for, what would you want? What would you ask for? Dawn and I just got back from an amazing vacation in Santorini, Santorini Island in Greece. It's a little island about, 15 miles long in the Mediterranean. We got to spend some time around the pool and relax a little bit. I don't think I've ever had a tan like this before in my life. We got to eat lots of Greek food. There was a Greek bakery just up the road from our hotel, so we got to have real Greek baklava. We got to see some amazing sunsets and meet some people from all over, well, mostly Europe, all over the world. Dawn says that when we were married 25 years ago, I asked her, where would you like to be in 25 years? And her answer was Santorini. I don't know why she's always had this desire to go to Santorini Island in Greece. And so for our 25th wedding anniversary, we actually got to spend some time in Santorini Island. I think if I could have anything I wanted, I might like to go back there. Tomorrow, I'm going to start training for the National Powerlifting Championships. It used to be that when I went into training for a meet, how well I did depended largely on how hard I was able and willing to work. Anymore, how well I do has more to do with how hurt I am. Notice I didn't say whether or not I'm hurt. I've just kind of come to assume that I'm going to be hurt. Something is going to be ripped or pulled or broken or strained. It's just a question of what it is and how debilitating it is. That didn't used to be the case 30 years ago. I might wish that I was in the kind of shape that I was 30 years ago. What would you ask for? Would you ask for wealth? Can you imagine what it would be like never to have to worry about money problems ever again? Or would you ask for power? Can you imagine what it would be like to, when you ask somebody to do something for you, they do it without question? Or would you ask for health? Can you imagine what it would be like for your dreams not to be limited by your aches or your pains or your disease? But what does Solomon ask for? Of all the things he could have chosen, what does Solomon ask for? He asks for wisdom, discernment. Now, I'll confess to you here that I do a whole lot better with stupid than I do with being wise. I was trying to look at everybody, and you would have gotten me in trouble for not looking at you if I hadn't. On our trip that we just went on, I spent weeks trying to figure out what I was going to take, making sure I had just everything that I needed, right? Packing and unpacking, all that I took was a carry-on bag. I wanted to make sure that everything fit into the carry-on bag, and I had just everything packed just about perfectly. You know what I forgot? You tend to come back with more stuff than you take, and so we made no allowance at all for coming back with more stuff than we took. On Thursday when we got back, I looked at my watch, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it was really 8 o'clock in the morning. I figured the battery must be dead. No, it was still just on European time. I actually took it to the door to get the battery changed before I realized what was really going on. I got back in here on Thursday, and one of the things that I found out has been going on around here at the church is we've been having some computer problems. You probably remember that 2 weeks ago. The screens didn't work because the computers weren't working right. So I decided to check and see if my computer was working. I got on, and then it asked me to log in, which means you need a password. I'd forgotten my password. And then John helped me out finding my password, and I realized that I was trying to log in with the wrong screen name, and I'd forgotten my screen name. The point of it all is I do a whole lot better with stupid than with wise. And thanks, by the way, to John Wolfe. He's really been going above and beyond for the last couple weeks, getting the computers back up and running, and has had some help from Bruce Spittler and also from Rick Smith. So I really wanted to thank them for all of the work that they've been doing. There are times when I wish that I was smarter, and there are times when I don't even know what I don't know. Solomon asked for a particular kind of wisdom. He asked for a discerning mind. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a discerning mind? He says it is wisdom. It means knowing the difference between good and bad. Or in other words, he seems to have known that before you can do the right thing, you first have to know what the right thing is. And that can be tricky, can't it? Knowing what the right thing is. There are some things that are clearly right and wrong, but there are some things where it's hard to know what the right thing is, and it's even harder to do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reasons. My dad used to tell a story about a man who liked to say, good news, bad news, who's to say? This was kind of his mantra, good news, bad news, who's to say? And so one day his son decided to test him on that. He said, well, Dad, I know this guy who has a cold. Surely that's bad news, right? And his dad said, well, what if because he had a cold, it meant that he had to stay home for the day? And because he stayed home for the day, it meant he got to go for a walk with his dad. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Good news, bad news? Who's to say? Well, his son wouldn't let it go. He kept saying, yeah, but what if when they went for this walk, they got attacked by a bunch of geese? Surely that's a bad thing, right? His dad said, well, what if the reason that they were attacked by the geese was because they were protecting their young? And what if because of that, they got to see some young baby geese? That's a good thing, right? Good news, bad news? Who's to say? His son wouldn't let it go. He said, yeah, but what if as they were running away, his son tripped and fell and broke his arm? That's a bad thing, right? The dad said, well, what if when he went to the hospital to get his arm checked out, he met the love of his life? That's a good thing, right? Good news, bad news? Who's to say? Do you see where this conversation could keep going? Is there a place in your life where you're finding it hard to know what the right thing is? Have you found that the longer that you struggle with it, the more complicated it gets? Maybe a good place to start is to step back and ask for wisdom. Or maybe you know somebody who's going through a difficult time and they're only seeing problems that are getting worse instead of the answer to those problems. Maybe their next step is to say, take some time back and ask for wisdom. The wisdom to be able to tell the difference. Or are there things going on in the world that you're confused about? Like we've been inundated with news about the presidential election that's coming up. Are you trying to decide which the right candidate to vote for is? Or how we should respond over the question of whether we ought to legalize marijuana? Or how you feel about the recent explosion in China? A great place to start maybe is to ask for discernment. When I think of a discerning mind, there is a prayer that comes to mind almost right away. Do you know this prayer? Do you know the serenity prayer? Do you know how that goes? Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I can't change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Do you know that that is only a part of a longer prayer? It was actually written by a guy by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr. This is the way that the whole prayer goes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. I like that, don't you? Because it recognizes, I think, that peace comes with surrendering to God's will. And it also recognizes that being happy in this life is in some way related to having a hope of living with Jesus forever in the next. Solomon knew that he'd need wisdom. He also knew the reason that he needed it, or in other words, he had a sense of purpose. The reason that he asked for wisdom was to be able to govern God's people. All right, let's do a little bit of background here. I know that you know that Solomon was the son of King David, but much as things aren't always obvious, you may also know that Solomon was also not the most obvious choice to be the next king of Israel after David. Solomon actually had an older brother who was the more obvious choice, a guy by the name of Absalom. Absalom is described this way, as tall, handsome, known for his long, beautiful hair, and a great warrior. In fact, he thought he was such an obvious candidate that instead of waiting until he was given the kingdom, he decided that he'd take it for himself. And so he mustered an army and then decided to take over his father's kingdom and invade Jerusalem. And in a scene that could have come right out of a Monty Python movie, Absalom is galloping along, trying to get away from David's troops on his donkey. Do donkeys do that? Do donkeys gallop? That's the way the story goes. He's galloping along on his donkey, and he's running away from David's troops in a forest. When his head gets caught in the branches of an oak tree, and he effectively hangs himself. That's the end of Absalom. Now, Solomon's life didn't start out so well. Do you know the story about Solomon? King David is walking around on the roof of his palace. Maybe he liked to walk on the roof of his palace. I kind of thought it took some effort to get out there when he sees this woman who's bathing. Do you remember her name? Bathsheba. And he has an affair with her. She gets pregnant. To cover up the pregnancy, he has her husband put on the front line so he'll be killed. Now, that baby didn't survive, but they had another baby together. And can you remember what his name was? Solomon, exactly. Or in other words, having a discerning mind isn't just about knowing what the right thing is, but sometimes it's about seeing the good in the bad. So that when a woman came to Solomon one day, there were two women who had children. One of the women's children had died. And both women were claiming that the baby was theirs. They said, Solomon, we need you to make a decision. Who's the rightful mother of this baby? Remember what Solomon's response was? He said, here's what you do. You take the baby and cut it in half and give half of it to each person. One woman said, that sounds like a good idea. The other says, that's just ridiculous. Let the baby live and go with the other person. Solomon says, that's the real mom. Would you like to know some other wise things that Solomon had to say? He's traditionally seen as the author of the book of Proverbs. So if you want to see some nuggets, some pearls of wisdom, go to the book of Proverbs. Some of the things he said are, for example, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or train up a child in the way that he should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from those ways. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. I like that one. Before honor is humility. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything else you do flows from it. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Those who conceal their sins do not prosper, but those who confess and renounce them find mercy. Or this is one of my personal favorites. Where there is no vision, people perish. Some of the wise things Solomon had to say. My point is this. Wise people know to look for God's grace, and sometimes we have to make an effort at that. Solomon was smart enough to ask for wisdom. He knew the reason that he needed it. And what is the first thing that this wise person says to God? The very first thing he says is, because no one is able to govern this important people without your help, O Lord. He knew that he would need God's help, whatever the future held. He knew that he wasn't going to be able to do anything without the help of God. Now, I should say this. Solomon seems to be a whole lot better at seeing the wisdom in what other people ought to do than he is in having wisdom about his own life. And I say that because Solomon is also traditionally seen as the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. Do you know the book of Ecclesiastes? It starts out, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. But most of the book says, all that we do is vanity. We work hard. Why do we work hard? It's all vanity. The sun rises and it sets, but then it just has to come up again and do it all over. It's all vanity. We try to look our best, but beauty is only temporary. It's all vanity. What has been. We can't change the past. It's all vanity. We work and then we die. It's all vanity. We try to find happiness, but looking for happiness only makes us realize how unhappy we are. It's all vanity. It's almost as if, do you remember this video that was circulating about 2 weeks ago of the woman that was at a wedding? She had a baby, about a one-year-old baby, and they gathered people together to catch the bouquet. And when the bouquet was thrown, it came her way. Did you see this video? She had the baby in her arms and the bouquet was coming her way. Do you know what she did? She dropped the baby in order to be able to catch the bouquet. It's almost as if Solomon is doing that here. In his search for wisdom, he's missing out on the importance of being faithful. Don't do that. Don't let the love of God, don't lose the love of God in the search of the wisdom of God. All right, one last story. Socrates is another wise person who supposedly had somebody that came to him one day saying, "Oh, wise teacher, help me to be as smart as you are." And so Socrates took him from Athens down to the edge of the Mediterranean, put his head underwater, and held his head underwater. The guy thought he was going to drown. When Socrates let him up again, he said, "What did you want more than anything else in the world while you were under the water?" And you know what he said? Air. I wanted air. And Socrates said to him, "When you want wisdom as much as you wanted air, then I will show you the way." If you're looking for wisdom, I'd like to strongly advise you, be a part of worship, which you obviously have done because you're here today. Find a way to serve. There are a number of ministry teams like Shoes for the Shoeless or the Backpack Ministry that are great ways to serve and become a part of a small group. I'd not only invite you to be part of a Sunday school class, but urge you to become a part of a Sunday school class. And remember that the kickoff for Sunday school year is when?